Welcome to the second AAT podcast in the Employment Taxes series covering the submission of the 2010-11 P9D and P11D returns, where I will discuss the requirements for submission of the statutory returns. In the first of the three podcasts, I looked at preparing the way, including understanding what is required and what to do about obtaining the relevant information. In this podcast, I want to begin by looking at why we need to submit forms P11D, P9D, and the P11DB return, including what to do if P11Ds are not required. I will remind you about what we need to do with this important task, including the P11D quality standard set by HMRC, which has to be met to avoid rejection of any P11D, etc. returns. I will then look at our options for submission of the returns. In the final of the P11D series, I will be looking in detail at the calculation of the benefits and the completion of the actual P11D return forms. Let me remind you that the statutory deadline for submission of the 2010-11 forms P9D, P11D, and the P11DB return is the 6th of July 2011. The deadline for payment of the Class 1A NICs that we will calculate from the brown boxes on the P11D forms is the 19th of July 2011, although as usual, this is extended to the 22nd of July 2011 if paid by an acceptable electronic payment method. All three of these dates are normal working days, therefore we just need to make a diary note of those dates, and we need to ensure that our timetable for completion, submission and payment will fit in with the statutory deadlines. We need to plan ahead. Remember that there are costly penalties awaiting us if we are late in submitting these statutory returns, or if we get them wrong, and also if we fail to make payment on time. Interest will then be charged on the late payment of Class 1A NICs. Section 2. Why are forms P11D and P9D required? P11Ds are required because income tax is chargeable against emoluments of an officer employment. Income in the form of salaries, fees, wages, and perquisites and profits whatsoever all come within the definition of emoluments, where they are paid or received by virtue of the officer employment. Salaries, wages, fees, commissions, bonuses, and any other cash form of payment are taxed through pay as you earn. And employment income details are reported to HMRC on the annual PAYE return forms, P35, P14 summaries, and the P38A employer supplemental return. All those returns we've covered previously in podcasts and have to be submitted by the 19th of May 2011 deadline. Next, we have the perquisite or perk, in other words, a benefit in kind that is received by virtue of the employment, and any profit that could arise from the payment of expenses. This could happen when an employee is reimbursed too much or is reimbursed for non-business expenditure, which will also give rise to an income tax liability and possibly to an NIC's liability. Payments or reimbursements of expenses are part of an employee's employment income or taxable remuneration or emoluments, unless it can be shown that they are tax deductible, having been incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties. HMRC requires that all expenses, payments, and benefits, unless covered by a P11D dispensation, are reported annually on forms P11D and P9D. HMRC employer compliance officers do carry out pay-as-you-earn audits or employer compliance inspections to check that all relevant expense payments and benefits in kind have been reported or have been dealt with through a PAYE settlement agreement. This leads me to say that if there are no expenses or benefits in kind to report, and normally this will happen where the employer has a comprehensive P11D dispensation and perhaps a PAYE settlement agreement to deal with taxable expenses. In such circumstances, there will be no requirement to submit P11Ds. It is not necessary to submit nil forms P11D or P9D. In an ideal world, we would have known that, and when submitting the employer's P35 annual pay-as-you-earn return, we would have ticked the box to confirm that completed forms P11D and P11DB are not due. Unfortunately, this does not always happen. I have previously told AAT members at branch meetings and on the CPD master courses that if in doubt on this issue, I would tick the box to say that P11Ds are not due. However, I must advise you that if HMRC issues a P11DB return to your employer or to one of your employer clients, and P11Ds are not required, it should not be ignored. The P11DB should be completed, and the box ticked that says no expenses, payments or benefits of the type to be returned on forms P11D have been or will be provided for the year ended 5th of April 2011. For this reason, no forms P11D are attached. Completing and submitting that nil form P11DB to HMRC should avoid a P11DB penalty notice being issued at a later date. Section 3. Who do we need to submit a P11D or P9D form for? Pay-as-you-earn regulations require that forms P11Ds are submitted for specific groups of people, including, firstly, directors and certain other persons in controlling positions, regardless of their remuneration level. This would include anyone deemed to be a shadow director. The definition of director for this purpose excludes full-time working directors and any director of a charity or non-profit-making concern. By directors, it does not mean people with the title director who are not Companies Act directors. Indeed, as I was when I was at PKF and where I was the employment taxes director, but not a board director. The next group of people that are caught, and the wider group, of course, are any employees, including any of those excluded directors, so that will catch almost every director that would have been excluded. Anyone, in fact, who was paid at a rate of at least £8,500 a year. That £8,500 limit has been there since the previous Conservative government. And in arriving at that figure, we have to include all expenses, payments and benefits before deducting any allowable expenses. But after deducting any approved company pension contributions that would be deducted from gross salary, and after deducting any give-as-you-earn donations. The £8,500 limit does have to be annualised for starters and leavers. We cannot just look at the payroll summary at the year end and decide that anyone below the figure of £8,500 doesn't require a P11D. Let me give you a simple example. John started work with A Limited on the 6th of October 2010, in other words, halfway through the tax year. His total earnings, as shown on the P14, was £7,500. And his medical insurance benefit for that period was £420, which would give him a total of £7,920, ignoring any expenses. If his expenses were less than £580, then his total earnings would be under the £8,500 limit. But when we multiply his total emoluments, that is the salary, benefit and expenses, by 12 months over the 6 month period that he worked for the company, we end up with a figure, obviously double, which is well over the £8,500 limit. And then we would have to report the medical benefit on his P11D. We would also have to report the expenses if they are not covered by a dispensation. John would be taxable on the benefit. John would have to claim a deduction for the expenses if there wasn't a dispensation. Still on the issue of the £8,500 limit, let's consider any employee earning less than at a rate of £8,500 in the tax year to 5th of April 2011. We may still require the completion of a Form P9D, although this will be quite rare. There is no need to report any expenses that were solely and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties. Now, that is somewhat different to the Section 336 requirement of expenses incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties. And furthermore, for P9D employees, it is left to the employer to decide which expenses are solely and necessarily incurred. For any other expenses, therefore potentially some taxable expenses, we have nothing to report on the Form P9D if the total did not exceed £25. If, unusually, the employer paid an employee's personal national insurance contributions or any personal bill such as a telephone bill, that would strictly have to be reported on the P9D at Box 15. This is because it is a pecuniary liability where there would be liability for a P9D employee. There could be liability for any gifts in kind and anything bought for or paid to the employee other than at market value, and anything else not included elsewhere. Section B of the P9D covers vouchers and credit cards, including the excess of any childcare vouchers over the £55 per week or £243 per month tax-free limit. Although, in all honesty, very few employers are likely to pay more than the £55 per week. There could be a reporting requirement for any travel and transport vouchers, gifts, meal, and any other vouchers not exchangeable for cash. Remember, any vouchers exchangeable for cash should have pay-as-you-earn applied to them through the payroll. Section C of the P9D covers accommodation benefit, where we would have to provide the address, the rateable value, the rent and insurance paid, and the cash equivalent of the accommodation provided. The amounts would have to be entered in Box 14 of the P9D. As far as accommodation benefit is concerned, I will cover this in more detail in the final series of the P11D podcast. Section 4, HMRC's P11D quality standard. HMRC's website offers some guidance on the P11D quality standard that has to be met to avoid the P11D returns being rejected. HMRC's quality standard sets out the following requirements that every form P11D must meet to avoid rejection. Firstly, you must include your employer reference. Next, you must include your employee's name and national insurance number. If we don't have the employee's national insurance number, we have to provide their date of birth and gender, as we would with the end of year PAYE returns. If we are reporting a car benefit, where a car has been provided to an employee for private use, we must include its list price. If we complete Box 10 in Section F of the P11D, which is the total cash equivalent of car fuel provided, then we must also complete Box 9, which is for the total cash equivalent of cars provided. If we provided a beneficial loan to an employee and are reporting it in Section H of the P11D, HMRC says we must also complete Box 15, the cash equivalent of loans. Some employers like to submit their P11Ds in list form or schedule format, and the quality standard that HMRC now requires must pass the following test. Firstly, we must present the list in an easy-to-read format using a font size no smaller than 11-point Arial. Now, AAT members will know I've had a problem with that in the past. Personally, I think that 10-point Arial is large enough. Next, We are told to organise the list by employee, not by type of benefit, which is fair enough. It means put them in alphabetical order. We need to include the employer reference. We need to include the employee's name and national insurance number. And again, if we haven't got a national insurance number, we have to indicate their date of birth and gender. The P11D standard for list format requires that we include all the expenses and benefits provided to each employee. We have to show the code letters assigned to each benefit on form P11D, which are the letters in the dark blue boxes on the left section of the form. Next, in HMRC's guidance, they point out other errors to watch out for, which include the following. Using a paper form that relates to the wrong tax year. So we should check the top right-hand corner of the first page and make sure that we are using a 2010/2011 P11D or P90 form. Another error is failing to tick the director box if the employee is a director. And again, we're talking about Companies Act directors. Not including descriptions if the amounts are included in sections A, B, L, M or N of the form. Again, this is quite straightforward. If there is a box for descriptions, we have to fill it in. Next error is leaving the cash equivalent box empty if we've entered a figure in the corresponding cost box of a section. Next, we have sending P11Ds when we've also ticked the box in Part 5 of Form P45 of the Employer Annual Return to indicate that P11Ds are not due. Now, I have a problem with that because if we've tick the box to say P11Ds are not due because that's what we thought at the time or because we were unsure, I don't accept it can be an error to then submit P11Ds if we later find out that they're required. The next error is where a benefit has been provided for mixed business and private use and we enter only the value of the private use portion, in other words, the net cash equivalent. HMRC requires us to show the full value of the benefit. Next section, section 5, Class 1 or Class 1A National Insurance Contributions. In the first podcast on Preparing the Way, I referred to the brown and blue boxes, mainly because of the 19th or 22nd of April 2011 deadline for paying any additional Class 1 National Insurance Contributions that may be due in respect of items to be reported on the P11Ds. I now want to look at this in more detail to ensure that when we submit the P11Ds, we complete the correct entries. It is easy to see from a colour copy of the P11D that some sections have brown Class 1A boxes and that some sections are blue boxes. The brown boxes have to be added up to determine the amount of employers' Class 1A NICs liability for the tax year 2010-11. The blue boxes indicate that there is no Class 1A NIC's liability, but of course there may be a Class 1 NIC's liability on such things as the provision of a voucher or the reimbursement or payment of any personal liability of the employee or the director. The front page of the P11D form tells us in brown writing and below the Works Number Department box that employers pay Class 1A National Insurance Contributions on most benefits. These are shown in boxes which are brown and have a Class 1A indicator. Sections B, which is payments made on behalf of employees. Section C, vouchers or credit cards. Section E, mileage allowance and passenger payments. Section M, other items. And Section N, expenses payments made to or on behalf of the employees are the blue box entries on the P11D and do not attract Class 1A NICs. But as I have already said, we need to consider whether there might be a Class 1 NIC liability. Section M of the P11D is the only dual choice section on the P11D form, and it's there we can choose whether to put it in a brown Class 1A box or to use the blue box. The most obvious example of a Class 1 NIC's liability is where the employer pays the school fees bill of the employee or director. This is specifically mentioned at question 5 of the P35 checklist, which asks, have you paid any of an employee's pay to someone other than the employee, for example, to a school? Only if there's a contract between the employer and the supplier of the services, in other words, the school, should the relevant amount be entered in the brown box. And this is rarely the case, to be honest. In contrast, where the employer is simply paying the school fees on behalf of the employee or director, the relevant amount should be entered in the blue box on the P11D. An error made all too often by some employers is to assume that the reporting of the payment on the P11D, where a specific box is perhaps provided, is all that is required. That is wrong. Employers and their advisors need to be aware that a blue box entry on a form P11D may give rise to a Class 1 NIC's liability, and that, perhaps, should be included on the payroll. Another employer payment that might similarly be missed would be private medical insurance, perhaps where an employee has their own medical insurance and the employer reimburses that cost, instead of including the employee in the company medical insurance scheme. It is only appropriate to report the benefit for medical insurance at Section I of the P11D if the contract is between the employer and the medical insurance company. It is not appropriate to do that when the employer reimburses the bill presented for the employee. That is a personal or pecuniary liability. Section 6, calculating the P11D benefit and making good. The general rule for calculating the value of P11D expense payments and benefits is that the cash equivalent of value is the cost to the employer or indeed to any other third-party provider where the benefit is provided by virtue of the employment. There are some exceptions to this general rule, and this is where specific legislation applies. This includes live-in accommodation, vouchers, car and fuel benefit charges, and company vans, the latter two, of course, being scale charge benefits. Forms P9D and P11D have to be reported on an income tax year-end basis, not a company accounting basis. An employer with an accounting period of, say, year-ended 31st of December would have to apportion the expense payments between two accounting periods. So the first accounting period would be the accounting period ended 31st of December 2010, where 9/12 of the accounting period would be apportioned to include on the P11D. The second accounting period would be from 1st of January 2011 to the 31st of December 2011, and where we would take 3/12 for the period January to March 2011. Very importantly, all P11D expense payments and benefit values to be entered on the forms must be reported on the basis of being VAT inclusive. This is irrespective of whether the employer can recover any part of the VAT content of the expense payment or benefit in kind. We are required to include details of any amount made good by the employee or director, or from which income tax was deducted under PAYE. The taxable benefit to be included on form P11D should be restricted to the net cash equivalent, i.e. the gross figure, less the amount paid, made good, or included in PAYE, and then reporting the net figure in the appropriate box. I have already pointed out that HMRC's P11D quality standard requires that we include all three entries on the P11D, not just the net benefit. We may need to make a corresponding adjustment to the total benefits reported on form P11D if we enter an amount from which tax has been deducted under pay as you earn. where the benefit is liable to Class 1A national insurance contributions. The timescale for making good should be reasonably short. HMRC were successful in resisting a claim to allow amounts made good long after the end of the tax year. In the case of impact foiling, which involved two directors who were subsequently regarded as having fewer benefits because their mileage records were inadequate. HMRC guidance on making good private fuel in a company car, included in its employment manual, says the following. In many instances, the making good required by Employment Income Manual number 25650 is completed by the end of the tax year. But you will find cases where making good does not occur until after the end of the tax year. This may be where mileage records and repayments in the final months of the year take a little time to process. You can accept this as meeting the terms of the legislation, provided final settlement is made without unreasonable delay. That is what HMRC's guidance says. And of course, it is pretty obvious that when people have to submit their March expense claims and business mileage records, it is going to be, in most cases, after the end of the tax year, before the amounts are made good. Now, I would have a concern if mileage records were inadequate and weren't being checked properly. So this is part of the exercise of getting ready to submit these forms, which I referred to in the earlier podcast. Section 7, submitting the P11D forms. The first podcast in this series covered preparation for submission of the statutory forms P9D, P11D, and the P11DB return. This second podcast in the series has looked at submission issues, including who requires a P11D and the P11D quality standard that is now demanded by HMRC. The third and final podcast in the P11D series will cover the calculation of the cash equivalent of the expense payments and benefits in kinds to be reported. Once we have completed our preparation, analysed all the various costs involved, and excluded any items that do not have to be reported, we calculate the value of expense payments and benefits to be reported. And then our next step will be the submission of the forms and the payment of any Class 1A national insurance contributions that are due. As I have already indicated, the deadline for submission of the 2010-11 forms, P9D, P11D and P11DB return, is the 6th of July 2011. The deadline for payment of the Class 1A national insurance contributions is the 19th or 22nd of July 2011, the latter only if paid by an electronic payment. And please ensure that your clients are aware that if they're going to pay by cheque, the cheque has to be received by HMRC by the 19th. Perhaps the final question to be considered in this section is how are we to submit the P11Ds? Unlike the pay-as-you-earn annual returns, the P35 and the P14s, where there is a statutory requirement to submit the forms online, there is no such requirement for forms P9D, P11D, or indeed the P11DB return. I will say that is my preferred option, and I can manage to do this quite easily because I use PKF's P11D software, a software that I've been using for many years and is quite easy to use. Using P11D software is an easy way of avoiding errors that might result in paper P11Ds being rejected by HMRC because of its P11D quality standard. If you do go the software route, please ensure that the software you're using, like the PKF software, is already approved by HMRC, and then you won't have to worry about the P11D quality standard. If you intend to use paper returns or to submit P11Ds in list or schedule format, be sure to look at the quality standard and to listen to what I said earlier. You may be well advised to get someone to proofread the paper P11Ds, or indeed the schedules. It would be risky not to do so. Section 8 Summary. I keep repeating that this is a difficult task and one, again, that we only do once a year. So preparation is important, and please at any time go back to the preparation podcast if you're unsure about anything. The submission issues I've covered in this podcast, particularly, as we've said, the standard for P11Ds and how to do this. The next podcast will cover the calculation in some detail, but thank you for listening to this today.